Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high can't get over it. So low can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to tonight's Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And a special welcome to Andrew Gray, who is sitting here with me right now. He's a representative of Gideons International. Recently he came to our church to tell us all about the work of the Gideons, so I thought it'd be a good idea for you to hear what Andrew has to say. So welcome, Andrew, and thanks for coming all the way to the studio today.
Thank you for inviting me this evening, Alec.
Have you come far?
Oh, it's about 20-25 miles up from here, nothing at all.
Ah, well, good. I hear you've had a busy week with regard to Gideons International. Would you like to explain a wee bit of what you do?
Yes, all Gideon members are volunteers, so they do it along with their own job. And in my case, I'm now retired, so it's a bit easier. But along with other members, I've been visiting schools this week. So we've visited four secondary schools in North Ayrshire. My wife and I at two particular schools and another team at another couple of schools.
And what do you do in the schools?
When we go to the schools, by arrangement and agreement with the head teacher or his deputy, we offer a red testament, youth testament, which is probably well known in the community, to the first year secondary pupils. And it's done against a background of seeking to encourage, in the time that we have available, how they can use it. In other words, how to get the best out of it. But also, obviously, we're wanting to tell them what it is, how Christians see this book, and how it has been a tremendous resource, a tremendous power, a tremendous influence in people's lives over the years.
I can actually remember getting my little Gideon's Bible in the school. It was the 5th of November, 1967, and I've actually got it with me today, sitting here.
Right.
Can you explain the symbol on it? Folk will recognise that wee symbol.
Yes, indeed. The symbol is now well known, and it's recognised for a lamp, which looks a bit like a jug, really, with a flame coming out of the top of it against a black background with a gold ring. Now, those symbols come from the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. Gideon was a farmer's son, but it just happened that the neighboring countries were doing a bit of ethnic cleansing, trying to push the Israelites out. And Gideon was told by an angel of God that he had to raise an army. And that's quite a long story. We'll see in Judges 6 or 7. But in a word, they take the symbol of the jug and the fire, the torch, and the outer ring is the trumpet. So those are the symbols that we use.
So you've been to schools this week, and recently you were doing a special campaign, I think, in Bristol or something?
Yes, indeed. It's international policy encourages what the Gideons call city blitzes. That means that Gideons come from all over the particular country concerned and concentrate on a city area. Britain has been doing this in the last 10 years, and Bristol happened to be the focus of attention this year.
So when you focus your attention in Bristol, what does that mean?
It means that Gideons from all over the UK line up at a hotel for a weekend at Bristol at their own expense, and the scriptures are already delivered and put in stores, satellite stations as we call it. We're all given particular areas to cover. It's very well organized with lists of hotels, hospitals, nursing homes. Throughout their area, where they would like us to visit, and we go out in teams of three or four with suitable maps or sat navs or whatever it is with the lists, and invite people to accept a copy of maybe a Bible, a testament for a hotel, for a hospital if we're going there, and at the same time take the opportunity to give a personal copy to individuals who may ask why we're doing it and what it's all about.
Very good. Well, we'll hear a bit more about the Gideons in a moment, but I thought we'd pause for our first piece of music. We've got Dolly Parton singing about John Daniel. This is a man who, like yourself, Andrew, is very keen on his Bible.
John Daniel came to town one summer afternoon, wearing dirty work clothes, so everyone presumed he was just another logger from the logging camp nearby. And he was, but there was something different in John Daniel's eyes. John Daniel was a young man, not more than 24, and there was an air about him that one could not ignore. And in spite of callous hands and dirty clothes, his face was kind, and I wanted so to know what was in John Daniel's mind. John Daniel, tell me, where did you come from? Tell me, where is it you've been? John Daniel, tell me, why are you different from all of these other men? John Daniel, there's something about you that I don't quite understand. John Daniel, do you hold the answer to a high place? I rented him a room, he went upstairs like all the rest. It was Saturday and he'd be going into town, I guessed. But he left in a robe and sandals with a Bible in his hand. And I thought to myself, John Daniel, I don't understand. I'd planned to meet some friends of mine when I got off at 3. In the park we often gather to talk of love and peace. When I got there I found that a crowd had gathered round. Sitting on the ground. John Daniel, tell me, where did you come from? Tell me, where is it you've been? John Daniel, tell me, why are you different from all of these other men? John Daniel, there's something about you that I don't quite understand. John Daniel, do you hold the answer to a high plan? So you want to be free, he said. Well, this is how you can. As he read from the Bible he held in his hand, we were searching for the truth, not knowing where to look, not knowing that the answers all were in John Daniel's book. John Daniel taught us of a better way for you and me. He came to us in our own way so we'd be sure to see. He had the light and the essence of the man from Galilee. John Daniel, tell me, where did you come from? Tell me, where is it you've been? John Daniel, tell me, why are you different from all of these other men? John Daniel, there's something about you that I don't.
Currently interviewing Andrew Gray of Gideon's International. And I just want to ask you, Andrew, how did Gideon start, or when did it start?
It started just over 100 years ago, Alec, in 1896 in America. And it was the vision of three men, one of whom was John Nicholson, a great-grandson, I think, of Lord Hailsham in the UK, but the connection there. Essentially, these men were in travelling sales, and often away from home, and felt it would be good to have a form of Christian fellowship when they were away from home, rather than being caught by distractions out there in the world. they thought about it and said, well, let's meet again in a year's time. If there's anything of it, we'll say this is the right thing to do. A year later, there was only the three of them still. And they said, well, what can God do with three people? And they prayed and they were looking for a name. And one of them stood up after their prayer time and said, well, I think in the story in the Bible, God told Gideon to reduce his men to 300. We've just got three. We'll see what God can do with three men. And that's when it happened. The Bible distribution was picked up and taken up in 1906, 08, something like that, in the British Isles, when one of them came over, visited the UK, and found that an organization, Christian Commercial Travelers, was already placing Bibles in hotels. They said, that's a good idea. We'll adopt it. And basically, it started with distribution in 1908 in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that was the first Bibles placed.
And now it's spread from hotels to other places?
Now it's spread in areas of hotels, hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, schools, the military, police, fire, ambulance, and, you know, areas of the public will take.
And how many countries now, international?
192 countries.
192,
yes. Wow. Some of them in the Pacific Basin more recently. Yeah.
How many Bibles are you giving away?
that number is something like 80 million in the last fiscal year. But to give you a figure that perhaps means something, 1 million every 4.5 days. It's quite amazing how that has grown. And the speed of distribution is getting greater as the number of countries...
And all these Bibles are given away for free?
All these Bibles are given away for free. We are not allowed to sell, never mind anything else. And we are supported by churches, by individuals, and so on.
So it's a multi-million pound business.
It's an enormous business,
all
really,
charity,
in that sense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well done. Well, let's pause for our second piece of music. This is Ian White singing the song Gideon, telling us all about the story of Gideon in the Bible.
Gideon, Gideon, this is your God calling you. I need you to fight for me in a special way. Gideon, Gideon, I know you don't feel strong, but I am sending you, and I'll be with you all the way. Gideon, Gideon, why do you always need a sign? Once the fleece was wet and once was dry. Gideon, Gideon, when will you learn to trust in me? When
you're
Miranda, I'm just interested in your own personal involvement in Gideon's work. Gideon's is all these volunteers giving of their time and their money. It's all charitable. So why are you so passionate about this cause?
I think, basically, I think it's because I've found the Bible personally to be God speaking to me. And I made a commitment to know God and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ when I was a schoolboy. I was very fortunate to be brought up in a home that was sympathetic and, in fact, encouraging a belief in God. And my father used to read the Bible every morning at breakfast or just after breakfast, a great big Bible, which I've actually fallen heir to. He would read a passage and then he would pray. And that had a profound effect on me. My father had been a First World War veteran. There's a Bible that you, Alec, can see here on the table, very tatty. It's wearing apart, falling apart, really. But it was his in the trenches from 1914 in Gallipoli through to 1918 in northern France. And mercifully, he was spared. But he's marked that Bible with different anecdotes and places where he was during the battle. And although he never really spoke much about it, long after he died, my mother, knowing my interest in giving out Bibles to secondary school children and so on and so forth, gave me that Bible. And I have to keep it in a plastic cover because it's falling apart. But if I have it recovered, it'll not be the same one. It's handled. And that's, you know, symbolic to me. Has his diary in the back where he was through the campaign. It has photographs of him and my grandparents and so on in it. So it's very precious. But it's no more precious than any other Bible, but it's sentimental to me.
Christians are called people of the book. And obviously your family is a family of the book. And it was your firm foundation for your life, isn't it?
Yes, I'd like to think so.
Yeah,
I believe that passionately.
Well, here's a song entitled How Firm a Foundation by Don Francisco.
How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, has been laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? Unto you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. And when through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. A soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no never, no never say. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, has been laid for your faith in his excellent word. The promise of God
Andrew, the whole philosophy of Gideon's is to put a Bible under people's noses in the hope that they will maybe just casually open one, surprisingly, to themselves even. In a hotel room, open a drawer, see one, and on the impulse, open it. So when you put the water out, do the horses actually drink? Have you any feedback on that?
Yes, indeed they do. And it's one of the exciting things that comes out of our experience with this. Whether it's, you know, the little red one that goes to school pupils, and I'm thinking of Amanda, who at 15 years of age wrote in to Gideon's and just said, you know, I willingly read it 4 times a week. And I'm absolutely amazed at how this book has spoken to me. And then she goes on to say, it's the best thing. It's the best advice I've ever received. And I'm really writing to tell you that I think handing out these books to people is great because it has such a powerful impact on those people who give this book a chance. You know, that sort of one scenario. Hotels, you know, it's different. Hospitals, different again. Just one situation coming to a church service that some of our Gideons were taking in South Wales. And an elderly gentleman stood up towards the end of the service and he said, I want to share my story. This was a gentleman who was 87. And he said, I was in hospital recently, and he said, I began reading Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. And he said, you know, I as I reached out that and read that book, he said, I was just thunderstruck by it. And he said, I put my faith in God in a way that I never thought I'd do. And what came home was the fact that his wife had been praying for him for 60 years. Now, there's rather nothing wrong with their relationship or anything else, but it was that he would know God personally, put his faith and trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. We were at church service just 2-3 weeks ago, some of our Gideon men down in Bristol, and a lady came up to the Gideon who'd taken the service at the end of the service, and she said, excuse me, she said, you've been talking about putting your faith and trust in Jesus and asking God to forgive you. She said, what's this all about? And the man explained it was about trusting God personally through faith in Jesus Christ. And she says, well, I've been a church member for 38 years. I don't believe I've ever done that. And so that Gideon member took that lady back into the sanctuary. And as they looked at the plan of salvation that's at the back of a Gideon testament and realized it was just a quiet need to confess sin and put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because there's no one else that can take away our sin. There's no one else who can provide a way to heaven one day but Jesus. And it was a stunning experience, a lady who'd been a church member for 38 years. So, you know, those are sort of illustrations of how and God answers and God works. Going to schools, we would give these red testaments to the staff. Jackie and I were at a school just earlier this week, and on our exit with our other Gideon colleague, we spoke to the janitor, we spoke to the technical people, but at the kitchen door, who were adjacent to where this assembly had been, would they like it? And they said there were 12 people in there, and every single one of them said they would like a copy. Now, to be fair, they said that they were believers, i.e. believers in Jesus, but they still wanted a copy. But you never know. This lady in Derbyshire, for instance, she had been given one in the reception at the school. The night before that, she says this. She said, I couldn't sleep. And she said, I picked up this Gideon Testament. I'm sorry, it's after she get it. And it said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered. She said, the words came alive to me. And I remember thinking to myself, there's something to find. Well, I'm knocking. And that night I called on God to help me, asking me to show me the way. And, you know, it's that kind of situation. There's a big story behind that, but we haven't time to go into it.
I know,
just
there's
now.
So many stories. But basically, you keep sowing seeds, and sometimes they fall on fertile soil, and sometimes they're not so fertile,
yes.
But you keep sowing anyway.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking in our next song about people who sow the word of God in maybe very difficult circumstances. This song was written in Beijing during a Bible smuggling trip with members of the Bible League. So this is Michael Card singing So Many Books. Andrew, it's only the holy half hour, I'm afraid, and we could talk all night, but have you got one last story to give us?
Yes, indeed. Just to give a note, this is Paris, France, and a lady who came to a church service one Sunday morning. It's amazing how out of church services people come and speak to the Gideon representative at the end of the service. And this lady said that she'd gone to a hotel. Life was at the rock bottom, and she had gone really reckoning to open the window and throw herself out. And as she prepared to do that, she stalled and looked around and saw the Bible right by the bedside. And so she says she met God in the form of a Bible. She spent all night reading it and found peace and calmness. How much people want peace and calmness. She put her faith and trust in God and began to be healed in relationships in her own family, and she joined a lively Christian church. After a while, she heard this Gideon speaking, Michel Roulet, at the church service. She wanted to go and tell him afterwards how much the Bible in that hotel room had meant to her. And the man was absolutely stunned, because he was at the end of his line. He'd been so discouraged, he didn't see any fruit, any results from giving out Bibles. And when he discovered the name of the hotel and the name of this lady and the situation, he realized it was the first hotel he'd visited with Bibles himself. And so it had a profound impact on him. So, you know, it's one way of recognizing how God uses his word, that seed that's placed.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for coming to the studio tonight. We appreciate you taking the time, and we've enjoyed your enthusiasm for it. And I hope you've transmitted that enthusiasm, that folk might open the Bibles and give it a wee look, and maybe you'll get some new recruits as well for Gideon's International.
Thank you.
If anybody does want to get involved in Gideon's International, please contact 3TFM and we'll pass on your details. So, we've got one last song to go, otherwise it's bye for now, and tune in again next week to 3TFM for Holy Half Hour. But I leave you with Songs of Inspiration, I Saw the Light.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Saw the light. just like a blind man. And I wandered along, worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Wander and stray, straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more. Sorrow inside.